because I'm not sure if I'll be here with you tomorrow evening. I want to take a look at one of the brachos that that Yaakov gives to his sons. I remember, this goes back maybe 15 plus years, when I was in the Kollel in Yeshiva University. So the regular learning seder in the afternoon was from 3 to 6:30, and then we daven Marav if the zman and time of year allowed. And then following which, there was another opportunity to join another Kollel for a half an hour. Those of you who were in YU in those days, I'm sure you remember Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Lessin, the Mashkiach, before Rabbi Blau came. He passed away in the late 70s. And Rabbi Yitzhak Cohn, who's Baruch Hashem, alive and well and always energetic in the yeshiva, was a very close Talmud of Rabbi Lessin. And I think working together with Rabbi Lessin's family, they established a Musar Kollel to encourage the guys to study ethical works and growing in Midos and Avodas Hashem, following the regular Seder and Vairiv, spend another half an hour learning some of the classics like Mesilas Yesharim, Tomer Dvora, Chovos HaLevavos, and the like that we've quoted many times here. So I remember I was once learning Chovos HaLevavos, and occasionally when I could, not just learning on my own, but I'd pull in someone, you know, off the street, one of the guys in YU who otherwise would not be in the Beis Medrash. And I was once learning with him. There's a portion of Chovos HaLevavos known, and maybe this is what the Sefer is most known for, called the Shar HaBitachon. It's the chapter, it's the section focusing on Bitachon. The best way to translate Bitachon is the sense of security and confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us. And one of the most prominent ways in which that has to figure into our lives is in the area of Parnassah, knowing that everything comes from Hashem, and that's one of the most difficult things to wrap our heads around when we go to work every day and we put in hours to make a living, we get a paycheck, but to still appreciate that the cause and effect in the realm of Parnassah is not to be understood in the usual scientific, logical manner, but rather we have to do our work, we have to go put in our effort, show up at the office, but what we get is entirely divorced from that. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, but that's one of the most difficult things, you know, in a world of illusion, a world of challenge, to see through the curtain where Hashem hides himself behind the scenes. So I was talking to this young man, and he we were studying this concept, and he said, I'm ready to buy into it. I can understand that, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my life, what my profession is going to be, but I'll know that it all comes from Hashem, you know, regardless of how I choose to spend my professional career. But one thing I don't understand. One thing I can't really accept. He said, why is it? Let's leave the accountants and the doctors and the lawyers and the businessmen on the side. Why is it that every Rebbe of mine, since I'm a kid, always had a beat-up brown station wagon, you know, and could barely make ends meet? You know, everyone else seems to be okay. All right, a little more, a little bit less. But they're across the board, the Rebbeim just, you know, the teachers, they're just always hard to make a living. You know, how does that fit into this big picture? I said, it's a good question. It's a good question. As an aspiring, on the one hand, I was an economics major. On the other hand, I was, going to smicha. How does this all fit together? So I don't know if I thought of it at the time, but later it occurred to me that it's a Rashi in this week's Parsha. Rashi in this week's Parsha teaches us that there is indeed one exception to the rule. One exception, or maybe one and a half. You'll tell me how to read it. When Yaakov is giving his brachos to his sons, he talks to Reuven. Interesting type of bracha, not quite favorable at face value. Shimon v'Levi achim, then he puts Shimon and Levi together, and he has some harsh words for them also. And he concludes, before he moves on to Yehuda, achalkim b'Yaakov v'apitzim b'Yisrael, I will spread them out, like chelak, l'chalek, I'll spread them out amongst the Jewish people, apitzim b'Yisrael, and I will scatter them amongst the Jews, meaning Levi and Shimon didn't really have their own portions in Eretz Yisrael. They were going from place to place. Levi, the Kohanim, they were the educators, they were the teachers. And Shimon also, he had a little bit here, a little bit there. Levi had a city, Ir Miklat, but they didn't have a centralized, you know, portion that they could call their own. And Rashi identifies that. He doesn't call it a curse, but he says that's their destiny. Their destiny is to always be on the go, to always have a little bit of a challenge, making Parnassa. We'll leave Shimon on the side for a moment, focus on Levi, but that was, in essence, the blessing for Levi. And again, the Pasuk says in Malachi, Sifsei Kohen Yishmu Das, the descendants of Levi, the Kohanim, that was their job. They would work in the Beis HaMikdash a couple weeks a year, and the rest of the year, they were the educators. They were the people teaching Torah from the time that Yaakov was in Mitzrayim. And he set up that first yeshiva. Levi was what was the teacher. He was the Rosh Yeshiva. So Levi got this bracha so to speak, a veiled bracha of not always having such an easy time with parnasa. And maybe that's the basis for this phenomenon that we see that, you know, I don't want to get into the tuition crisis, and my father spent many years advocating on behalf of improving salaries for Rebbeim and for Morot, and we should still give that chashivas an importance because we owe so much to the, you know, down to the grade school teachers who gave us, gave our children, our grandchildren, what they needed to be religious Jews, to be informed, educated Jews. But that seems to be, you know, I think there's two dimensions to this. One dimension, very briefly, is that, you know, if you de-emphasize for the Rebbe, for the Mora, the pursuit of Parnassa, and you say, that's just not going to be your tafi, that's not going to be your area. You know, keep it, you know, play Monopoly, you know, in your free time, but in the real life, that's not going to be your focus. And it's important. It's important to divorce oneself from the materialism if your mission is going to be to spread the spirituality and not the gashmis. But I think there's one other important lesson, which hopefully history has borne to be true, and that is that if you need to survive on less, if you need to hustle, if you need to have a little bit of a tougher time with the parnasa, you learn that your mission is inextricably tied with mesiras nefesh, with self-sacrifice, with giving of yourself, even when it's going to be inconvenient, even when the money's tight, even when it's not so comfortable to do so. But what else is the job and the responsibility of a Rebbe, of someone in that position of leadership, that sometimes it's going to be tough. But, you know, someone once wanted to put a punch card system in a yeshiva. I don't know if the Rebbeim were showing up. Yaakov Kamenetsky was furious. But by definition, if you're teaching, if you're a Rebbe, if you're a Mora, your hours don't follow the 9 to 5. You know you're going to get a call at 11 o'clock at night. You know you're going to be woken up early in the morning when there's something that has to be attended to. And that's the message. Through the paycheck, the mission was also imparted to the educators that it's going to take sometimes sticking your neck out, going above and beyond, and not just saying, well, okay, you know, the bell rings and I'm out of here. That's not the way that our educational system has thrived, and it's not the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Yaakov's bracha, educated the educators to understand what their roles and what their machayev, what their obligation will be. And hopefully all of us who are the beneficiaries. You know, I think about, if you'd stick me in a third grade classroom, I don't know if I, you know, I'd probably fail. I'd do a terrible job. You know, the people who can do it are really good at what they do, and they're dedicated to what they do. We should appreciate that. We should support it and recognize the providence behind it.